Over 5 million people play football in the USA, and here to bring it to you in the raw, uncut, unadulterated is the undisputed number one sports show in Atlanta and abroad. 100 yards of football, live from headquarters. It's more than a game, more than a show. It's where football blends culture, economics, and society. Tap in, tune in, and lock in to 100 yards of football now.
BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports, contests, and events with first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews and news for every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information, from live in-game betting, props, and futures. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to join today and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50 to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Welcome to 100 Yards of Football. And tonight is our legend segment. And ladies and gentlemen, tonight we got a Delray Beach legend, one of my boys, class of 76,
yes, sir.
Boca High Bobcats, Mr. Joe Chaney. Joe, welcome to the show, bro.
Hey, man, thank you, sir. I really appreciate it, and I'm honored that you would take some time to speak with me.
Hey, man, well, think about it, Joe. You know, we come from a place where there's a plethora of athletes, man.
Hey, nothing like it.
Nothing like it. And you know, when we talk about the Delray Dynamics, it's a small town.
Yeah.
Small town. And in 1970, we integrated schools. And we talk about this all the time. What would have happened had the integration ever taken place and all the athletes stayed in Delray like they did? Who was going to play?
Amen. Hey, I watched your show with Jeff and Mo and Keith and Rhett Talbert. And I'm thinking, I know they had a stick. We had a stick. But can you imagine what we would have had in Delray?
Oh, man.
I mean, whether it was football or baseball,
baseball.
Right? We were decent in basketball too, but those we excel there, man.
That's right. Well, you know, I know you guys at Boca had a great football program. You had a great baseball program, right? Mm-hmm. And we had the same thing at Atlantic. Mm-hmm. And so it would really took the right kind of coaching, you know, to keep it all together. The biggest problem we would have had is keeping people satisfied.
Right.
Because if you can remember back in the Carver High days, that before true integration took place, we had a number of African-American athletes playing at Seacrest.
Absolutely. Yeah. The Simi Taylors. And that was good. That was a good night at the football stadium, too. They played good football.
Man, absolutely.
Ronnie Mack.
Oh, my God. Hey, listen, man. I got to get Ronnie Mack on the show one of these days because Ronnie Mack, see, when I was a kid, Joe, you know how we grew up. We all grew up in the same church.
Yep.
My daddy was growing up as a reverend.
Yep.
And so I didn't get the opportunity to go to a lot of things, right? And so when I couldn't go to a Carver High game, I used to listen to Seacrest on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Buck Ward, you know, on the radio.
Yeah.
And so I knew about Ronnie Mack and Rock Matthews and Doug Davis and Steve Harton and Big E, Ernest Williams.
Yeah, Big E.
I knew about all those guys, Horace Bush, you know, guys who would have been at Carver, but they were starring over at Seacrest. And so, and then when you, even with that, Joe, you think about the kids from Boynton who came to Carver.
Mm-hmm.
The kids from Lake Osborne who were at Carver.
Right.
The kids from Boca, Pearl City, who were attending Carver High.
Right.
Man, that's a long line, bro.
It's a long line of stuff. Yeah, it is. It's amazing. And like I said, we come from a long history. So there was a road paved for us. And so when we got up, you know what we did? Football season, we played football.
That's right.
Basketball season, we played basketball.
That's right.
Baseball, and then in between all of that, they'd have you out at the track, running track, throwing balls, throwing this. So we're always doing something.
Always.
And in their minds, part of what they were doing was keeping these boys out of trouble.
Oh, absolutely.
And what morphed out of that, or what developed out of that, was the realization we have some pretty good athletes in this area. And if we get their attention and get them to play, they never know what the outcome is going to be.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. And one of the things, man, when I was a kid, of course, you know, watching Carver High play. Matter of fact, Joe, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a running back. I wanted to be Gale Sayers, right?
Right.
Because
right.
He's the first person I saw that excited me.
Right.
And really, I'll never forget it being a young man, young kid, and seeing Gale Sayers play a game and going down and writing on a piece of paper that I'm a professional football player. I was 9 years old, right? Yeah. After watching Gale Sayers. And then I go to a Carver High game. Carver High play Roosevelt, and I see Penn do his thing.
Right.
And my mind was blown, right? And I said, that's what I want to do, right?
Right?
And so coming up in the Delray Rock program, you know, the first year I played, Bump put me at quarterback. And then he found out and said, look, this guy, you know, we got to put him in the backfield, you know, because I was a fast kid.
Uh-huh.
And then they really put Wilson at quarterback. And then the next year, you and I played together.
Right.
I moved to wide receiver and you were the quarterback.
Right.
Right.
And I broke my finger that year.
I remember at the end of the year, right?
Yeah.
But Joe, you can throw the ball though, man.
Yeah. And so guess what? So mm-hmm. I watched enough of your shows, so I know how Anthony Penn changed you.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And eventually, right? So my brother also was an idol of mine. But then with you and two, as y'all continue to grow, I say, I got to go to another position. And the thing about it, you and two.
Right.
Can you imagine that on the same thing?
It's
unthinkable.
It's unthinkable.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like you wonder, right? And so, but I love that, right? Especially now because one of the best things happened, Joe. We didn't think this at the time because we were young men, full of testosterone, wanting to compete. Because we really want to play each other, Boca and Atlantic, right?
Yeah.
The best thing happened, we didn't play.
Probably, yeah.
It is the best thing. It's the best thing because
we, you know what? And through it all, we did. We all stayed friends. We could all pull for each other.
Absolutely.
And in the end, you know, while it wasn't the best circumstances,
mm-hmm.
more of us got a chance to play and excel.
Absolutely.
And at least see what we could do.
Absolutely.
In that arena.
Absolutely.
And, so in the end, it all works out, you know, for good.
It worked out. But when I look at you guys at Boca, right, I start thinking about, you know, I saw one game because, you know, we all played on Friday night. So
right.
I remember seeing a game. I think I was a 10th grader and y'all played Fort Pierce Central at Boca and we were open that week.
Uh-huh.
And I got a chance to see y'all play that night. But that's probably the only game I saw you guys play. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and you had Joe Jack, and you,
yep.
I mean, just the whole group, man.
Yeah.
And Fred Gaines, Doug Parker, Alvin Price.
Yeah.
Man, Willie Brown, Crucial, I can go.
Yeah, it was some boys.
Van Williams, I can go on and on and on.
Mark.
I mean, how do you take one ball
mm-hmm.
and satisfy all that?
Right. It was difficult. But you know, in the end, when I think back to that, though,
mm-hmm.
it wasn't a problem because
right.
I think part of what we mm-hmm. had from our upbringing, your parents mm-hmm. and, you know, who and all of our parents influenced all of us.
Yes.
So exactly. your father was more a contemporary of my sister. So
yes,
as right. opposed to my mama. So that created
right.
an even closer right. connection. Your grandmama lived next door to my sister.
That's right.
All that stuff made. But there was this work ethic we had.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we all believed mm-hmm. that if we went out and did our best and
yes.
earned a spot that
right.
we were going to get a chance.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Even, and so all of that competition mm-hmm. or all of that mm-hmm. talent around us,
mm-hmm.
it made us better.
Absolutely. There it is.
Absolutely made us better.
There it is. Because I can remember even playing rock ball, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so after the year, you and I played together in the 105.
Right.
And we go up to 130, right? Now, I'm in the eighth grade, and it was, and really, Joe, you know, it's amazing the things that you think are are bad in your life or something just didn't work out right. And you know, you start blaming the coaches. So I sat the bench. You know, me and Bernard Parker sat the bench. Yeah. And I'm telling you, it didn't feel good.
Right.
But two playing quarterback, you know, you got Lorenzo Haynes, who nobody knew of at the time, come out of nowhere and become this star running back. We never heard of Lorenzo until
that. Never heard of this cat, right? Right.
Well, I mean, we knew him, but we didn't know he had all that.
He had, yeah.
Exactly. And you still had Van, and you had, you know, Bernard. We just had a truckload of guys. Alvin Price was on that team. And
Price was a quiet, one of the toughest, meanest boys
he ever
wanted to come across.
Yes, he was. No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
Yeah, and so all those guys made it tough. And you know what? We all lived in the area. We lived close to one another.
Right, exactly.
You know, me and Jap, right? Me and Jap was best friends. So I spent a lot of time in Carver Park. Hanging out, right? So... And I think because of our brothers and sisters and family, the way all that, well, we were all crisscrossing ways and contact.
Right. Well, you know, it's amazing. So when I break Delray down, right, when I try to break it down in the black community back in the day, right, you know, I talked with, I had Butterbean, I had Doug Park on the show, right? And they say they were the baddest, they called themselves the City Boys. Southwest 6th Avenue, right? And they said they beat every street in Delray, right? And so I'm sitting there listening to them now. I know there were some bad boys, right? Because every football player on that street, though, was very physical.
Was tough.
Doug, Vince, you know, Bubba Brown, Charles Ferguson, Prince Arafat. I mean, all those guys down there, Horace Bush, they were physical. And Randy Strong.
Yeah, Randy Strong influence.
Because, you know, they told me on the show, man, that they were lifting weights. Man, I ain't know nothing about no weights.
I lifted weights when I got a gym membership when I got my first job.
You understand what I'm saying?
As far as lifting weights to play, that wasn't part of my psychic.
It wasn't part of my thing. And so I didn't know that that would be an advantage to me. You know, I'm just playing ball. And so when you start thinking about the areas of Delray, right, and all the street ball we played. Now, I know you stayed down there on 4th Avenue, Fourth Avenue.
Deep in Frog Alley, as they say.
Deep in Frog Alley. But what was it like for you? I mean, you had the Flowers family, Willis C.
Lester Gopher. Lester had a brother named Tim Tatum.
Exactly, right?
All of them were just flat out just good. And guess what? Neither one of them never lifted a weight. And they were just, you want to talk about physical specimens?
Exactly.
So we played in the street. That Willis E. Flowers,
he had
the funniest jump shot you ever want to see.
Oh, man.
But a football, I mean, just amazing. So I wish I'd have had some of them physical attributes some of those guys had.
Now, you came out
of high school, I'm 5'8", 145, 50 pounds.
Right, exactly.
These guys were full-grown men.
Full-grown men.
You remember Curtis White?
Curtis White.
Curtis White looked like somebody say, look, let me chisel a body out of rock and show you what it looked like. And that's what's Curtis White.
Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you about Curtis White. When I used to see Curtis White, I used to get afraid. I was just afraid. You know, he was just that kind. He had that kind of presence, right?
He was that kind of boy. Me and him was tight, and I wasn't worried about nothing when me and Curtis were together.
Joe, understand that. I played a lot of street ball, but I didn't have no brothers, right? If I got into it, I was all by myself.
And you know who else was on that street?
Who's that?
James McMullen. You remember Jimmy Mack?
Hey, listen.
That was a full-grown man.
Listen, I saw James.
Yeah.
When he was playing at Carver Junior High.
Right.
Run the football. And I go, that don't make no sense right there.
You don't tackle that cat.
Oh, that dude was nice.
He was
real nice.
He was something.
He was special. Yeah. And so, Joe, we talk about, you know, we're talking about football primarily, but you were an all-around athlete, right?
Yeah.
You were one of the few guys that played football. Mm-hmm. You played basketball. And you're a great baseball player.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you a question about baseball. Because I see, now see, baseball was the only sport that never called my name.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember what really sealed the deal for me. I'm going to see if you remember this moment. I don't know if it was Little League, Pony League. I don't know what level it was. But you may remember this. At Pompey Park, I was at the game, and you were playing, and Sammy Pratt was on the mound pitching.
Okay.
You remember this?
I think I remember.
But I remember Sammy Pratt was right-handed throwing it, and before he could finish falling through, you had hit that ball and hit him in the eye with that ball. I knew then, no, this ain't the game for me.
Yeah, that ball hit him on the forehead.
Yeah.
And bounced all the way to the backstop. I ended up on second base, literally with a double. But we were about 12 years old.
We were about 12.
What would have been the next level, which was Pony League.
Okay. All right. Okay.
And since you mentioned that was actually the first year mm-hmm. that the Delray National Little League got chartered.
Oh, wow,
so okay. I'll tell you a little history that you may not be aware of.
Yes, go ahead.
Back in Delray, there was a Delray American Little League, and it was on the other side of the tracks just off of Swinton.
Okay.
But that is very controlled by boundaries. Well, right. Delray American Little League set a charter, and everything but what we knew at that time, which was the Black community of Delray, was excluded.
Okay.
So hence comes Eddie and Yvonne Odom.
Ah, okay now.
To get us into the flow of really what's going on so we can go beyond Toontown or Pompey Park and really get exposed. Well, they put a lot of time and effort. So me, Butterbean, Willie Brown, there was a lot of us in 1970, the year of integration, first year we got charged.
Wow.
And so that was a really neat thing. And of course, that Little League now is over 50 something years.
That's strong.
I was 12 years old. I'll be 64 next month.
Right. Wow.
And what's even crazier is that Red and Yvonne still work with whatever Little League they got now. But they, you know, a few years ago, they still had a bunch of teams. But kids, you know, the football and basketball is really taking up most of the time.
Right.
And guys don't play baseball. And if you don't start baseball young.
Yeah, right.
You know what? We know guys that started playing football in high school, right? Going to get a college thing. Or some guys started playing in college. Mm-hmm. One guy played basketball in college and played pro football.
Pro football.
You got to be extraordinary to do that because of the skill level of baseball and just the amount of practice. So, you know, as you say, I played all the sports.
Mm-hmm.
So when it finally came down to it, I had great speed, but I didn't have burner speed like you and two and Mo Wesley and those guys.
Right.
But I had good speed.
Right.
I'm 5'8", 145, so I was too short to really be thinking about going anywhere to be playing basketball, right?
Right.
I didn't have no extraordinary handle.
Well,
I was right-handed dominant, but Jack Bernard could play basketball.
Oh, what you talking about, bro?
So as you look honestly and assess yourself with these guys, you know where you are.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, I started to get a little weary about football, not because I was scared. I broke my finger one year.
Right.
And then I broke my arm.
Okay.
Against the Boca Jets, and we lost that game.
Wow.
Because Toot Mitchell, the referee, Toot broke out and ran into the referee. anyway, that was another story. Okay, you got to start early. So,
I
started playing baseball. Then I started traveling with Red Odom.
Okay.
In the Delray Braves when I was 12 years old.
Wow, man.
My coach was Horace Bowie, and he played. Ricky Grant played. Those boys who played that car.
Oh, yeah, yes, sir.
Greg Dobson, Jack Graham, Ronnie Mack even played. You put all them guys. So I'm 12 years old. I start traveling with them.
Wow,
first trip was to St. Petersburg, and that's one of the reasons I'm in St. Pete now. Mm-hmm. I had such a car. But I started traveling at 12.
Wow.
By 15, me, Vic, Toot, Chocho, Bozo was a couple of years older than us.
Right.
By the time we were 15, we were starting. We were the core of that baseball team that Bill had. And at 15, I won a home run trophy.
What?
For the weekend tournament. I think I hit 7 home runs over the weekend. And and it was really the work and the effort. Red Odom is the one who planted this vision in my head, right? Because I'm just playing. I'm playing.
Right.
But not only did he plant the vision, he jumped out and he did everything he could to help me. Red would hit me 300 ground balls a day.
Wow.
If that's what I wanted to do. Right. Red taught me how to do the footwork to turn a double play. So okay. I get to the University of Miami.
Uh-huh.
Then get recruited, Bobby, by one school coming out of high school.
Really?
Not even including Palm Beach Junior College.
Wow.
I got no offer. So through a series of things, I ended up going to, I got a scholarship to go to University of Tennessee.
Okay.
I was going to be an engineer. I went there May 1st.
Mm-hmm.
The temperature didn't get above 50 for a week. So guess what? When I left Tennessee, I am not coming back. So I had applied to Miami as a backup. Right. I went on and I walked on.
Right.
Bobby, in the middle of the tryout,
mm-hmm.
the guy, Ron Frazier, called me over.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to know who was I, where I went to school, who was my coach, and how did I learn to turn a double play.
Right.
I'm telling you, this is within 2 hours of 150 people told me to go walk over to play at Miami.
Wow.
And it was Red. Not only did he hit me ground ball. Jack was part of that too.
Right.
And just through the footwork and just repetition. By the time I got to that point, I can say I was seasoned and it was the help and the input.
Right.
Primarily Red Odom and then all those guys from Carver who I looked up to.
Right.
Which was amazing.
Right.
At some point, I'm playing with these guys. So
man,
playing with your legend, playing with Anthony Penn, for example.
Man. Exactly.
Playing with my legends.
Wow.
And these were some super athletes.
Yes.
And you know them all. The
yes.
Cornelius family is probably one of the greatest family.
Oh, man. No doubt.
Robert Cornelius, one of their older brother.
Right.
And
wow.
He's the best baseball player I know that didn't make the major league.
That man
could flat out play.
Wow.
Robert would smoke a cigarette and take a swig of liquor on the bench and go ahead and hit the ball a country mile.
100 miles.
And get up over there by Toot Mitchell's house, you know. So, yeah.
I love
so
that.
That's how that kind of came about. And, you know, and so that became my game and that became my passion. And I knew it was the way for me to go because as time went on, I hated football practice.
Yeah.
I liked the games.
Yeah.
I hated practice. So,
of course.
Sophomore, junior year, I didn't play.
Look, so really?
Coach Coffey told my brother, my senior year. Now, I'm in Washington, D.C. for the summer. He said, well, tell Joe, you know, I want him to play. If he want to play, come on out.
Right.
So you know what I did? I waited till the tour days was over. And when I went back, Bobby, it was Monday, the first day of school. We had a jamboree that Friday.
Right.
And I started. So when I tell you, I hadn't played football in 2 years, started
at
safety 2 years later. So I'm saying, you can't do that in baseball.
Right.
So you're a good enough athlete and have a head on you.
Right.
You can make a way in football, and if you keep getting better, you know, there's a shot. But that's what I experienced.
Well, I tell you what, Joe, I say this all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
You put the time in, right?
Yeah.
And here you're talking about the time you put in baseball with Red. And but I also know you put the time in the streets of Delray in football.
Oh, yeah.
So people,
that's what made
people don't want to.
That's what made me.
That's what you tell. But see, people don't want to count that.
Yeah.
And so nowadays, I look at where we are today, right? I just got back from Montana last night. Right?
Yeah, I saw that trip, by the way. Some great pictures.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
And what we did, and the evolution of the game now is going to girls flag football. They're giving scholarships now for girls flag football. And so we're out in Montana with the Atlanta Falcon Youth Foundation putting on football clinics for girls.
Cool.
All right? Now, I'm looking at flag football, you know, and I'm going like, when boys are playing, I'm going like, well, why are they playing flag? They need to go and play tackle football, right? But you know what, though? Now when I look at it, Joe, I think about the time that we put into street football. Mm-hmm. So when we finally showed up to play organized football, bruh, the coach couldn't really coach us.
Right.
He tell us a system.
Right.
He can't tell you how to throw the football. He can't tell you how to catch it, and he definitely can't tell you how to run that ball, because we know how to do that, right? Already. So now I see flag football in a way, hopefully, that it can bring some more kids out, because a lot of parents, with all the information, with all these concussions and things like that, they don't want their kids to play football anymore.
Right, and so football in the end, and you know the numbers, they're not all going to make it through. But, you know, back during the day when we were coming up, if you could run and throw, you were a baseball prospect, right? Absolutely. And we were all fast. So for baseball, I was really fast, or right. I was faster than higher. So that 4th Street Avenue down there with all them athletes, you're talking about the Flowers and then all of them. I used to play in the streets with those guys.
Absolutely.
Because I had an older brother, Linus, who was 4 years older. Yep, right? Linus. You know, you want to tag along.
Absolutely.
So I found myself playing in the street with guys 6, 4, 6, 7 years older.
Right, right. Exactly.
And you know what?
It
was real. It was a part of our existence.
There
I
is.
Played. So when they start picking teams, I got picked.
You got picked.
Guys exactly. who were 6 and 7
exactly.
years older
than me. But see, that's the experience that you can't, listen, man, when I see kids come out of football for the first time, I'm talking for the first time.
The first time, huh?
You know, it was never a first time for us, right?
Right.
Because of the street experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping flag football can pick up and give these kids that experience before they start playing tackle football.
Right. Or learn the game.
Learn the game.
You know, they talk about
Absolutely.
Intelligence. Football
Absolutely.
Intelligence, baseball intelligence, whatever.
Right.
Learn the game.
Right.
That was the other thing that was invaluable for me with and me and my crew of boys.
Yes.
We knew the game
mm-hmm.
because we were taught the game. We had a great teacher. You know, Red was a great teacher. He taught mm-hmm. us everything he knew about baseball. But mm-hmm. all the other guys who had done things, they were interested in your growth and development.
Right.
So, you know, little poor boy like us, we leave home. Your mama give you $20. You're going for the weekend. I come back with $50 in my pocket because they would look out for me. They would
right. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Care you. So, yeah, it was that thing just go and do it, and yeah, it was tough. Like I say, you run off the road, you get tackled.
You get tackled, bruh. That was the rule.
You don't want to get tackled, stay on the asphalt.
Now, see, Joe, with me. Okay, so when I first started playing street ball,
yeah,
I used to live in Carver Park,
right
across from one of the Kirkwood and the Francis family,
mm-hmm.
where the Makins live now.
Right.
I guess they still have that home, right? We used to live in that house. Then we moved from there to 12th Avenue in the duplex, and we moved right behind Larry Coffey.
I know exactly where you're talking about, because we used to go over there quite a bit.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I played on that street, but now, you know, my relatives live on the north side, Tony Scott. So in the summers, I played with Toot, Vic, Smitty Boo, and Tony.
Yeah, down on 11th Avenue. Right?
On 11th, and of course, they were all older than me, right?
When I think of you, I think of you on 11th.
On 11th, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right, that's when the memory,
right.
when you might think them old days, that's the memory and the times that I go to, because that was the kind of the beginning and of the development.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then we started to split. And then it became quite obvious as you were going that, you know, you were on a different path when it came to athletics and particularly football.
Right.
When you start blocking them punts and all that crazy
stuff
you were doing and running them back.
Right.
And y'all played against some boys that you had to be on your game with. Because you played against Carter, right? You played against AC?
Listen, I play against AC twice a year, pretty much every year, because, see, we're in the same district. And then we always played in the first round of the playoffs because we were, back in those days, Atlantic and Suncoast were the top two teams in our conference.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, we played Belt, Glade Central every year.
Right.
We smashed them. They were not. Pahokee, even Pahokee being a 2A school back in the day, we opened up every year at Atlantic with Glade Central the first week. The second week, we played Pahokee.
Mm-hmm.
So if we win those two games, which we did every year, you know, we were on our way. And then here you go, you got, at the end of the year, we'll play Suncoast.
Did you, I remember you all used to play Vero too, seems like.
Now, Vero Beach was the toughest team we ever played.
They were big, seems like. What
they
I
were just like Fort Pierce Central.
Right, yeah.
Right? They were just like Fort Pierce. They had a guy named Fred Gaines running the ball. But Tyrone McGriff was a big stud lineman. Remember Tyrone McGriff?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Man, look at him. I still got a hole in my chest, man.
Hey, don't talk about that. Hey, I remember Fort Pierce Central, Don Latimer.
Don Latimer, wow.
Chased Toot Mitchell down and slammed him down and broke his collarbone.
Oh, yeah.
He was the only guy I ever saw put hands on Toot.
On Toot.
Usually they grabbing and pushing
him. Right.
So this guy was so big. And he actually grabbed Toot. I never forget that. Mm-hmm. And go back to that year, Coffee had me come out and play my senior year. Uh-huh. They had a boy named Roosevelt Duncan.
Oh, yeah, I know Roosevelt.
6'2", 2¼" all country boy.
Oh, man.
So we scouted. First play of the chamber, first play of the game, we played in our first game of the season. You know they're going to give him the ball.
They're going to give him the ball.
They're handing the ball. I'm playing free safety, and guess what? I look up, he's coming right at me. So I ain't scared. I go up. Man, the only reason that guy didn't score a touchdown, he tripped when he stepped in my face mask and he was running over me. Hey, the rest of the game will go by, and I'm trying to clip legs. I ain't my guy no more.
Hey, well, Joe, think about it now. So I hear your Roosevelt Duncan story. My story is in the 10th grade playing against O.J. Anderson, man.
You tried to tackle him coming around the corner?
Oh, he was trying to hurt everybody.
His attitude, you tackle me, you better get me because I'm – and I remember he had that ball in one hand.
Oh, man, he had that flipper. He was going to throw that flipper.
So it was good time. We got reconnected at UM.
Okay, cool.
And OJ, a few other guys, Latimer, because they called me Baseball Joe. Well, these guys used to do a freshman rookie hazing thing on the baseball team. Uh-huh. So they come to me, you know, and everybody say, Joe, how much you weigh? You know, so I'm like, Joe's hard to guess. So anyway, they play up this thing like they putting money into a pool to guess my weight. Uh-huh. Then on the day of the show of the weigh-in, right, you come in basically. Right. Basically what they're going to do, they're going to grab you. Somebody going to pick you up. One guy going to grab your hands. The other guy going to grab your ankles, and they going to paddle you.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
OJ and them guys came to him, and they say, Baseball Joe. And he say, look, don't show up to the weigh-in today. And I took them guys at their word, and I didn't show up.
Absolutely, man.
So they saved me.
That's great, man. That's great, man. You know, it's amazing, though, man, how I think back, you know, when I was in high school and how serious it was to competing against OJ, against Anthony Carter, Carlos Carson, Ricky Jackson. You know, all of us played against each other. And then you go to college, and now playing at Florida State, and we play LSU, and there's Carlos playing wide receiver over there, right? And I'm trying my best, and I'm like, when I play against friends, I play harder.
Right.
Because I don't want nobody back home saying, man, Carlos Carson took you deep.
Yeah, as soon as you get home, they're going to be like, what happened?
Oh, man, well, yeah, exactly. Especially if you're a DB, right?
Yes, sir.
Because everybody see everything, right? And so you fight hard, man. Mm-hmm. And then even OJ, man, when we're playing the pro, I never get the last time I played against him in Atlanta, because, you know, he started out with the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when he was with the Cardinals, man, he was a different back than when he was with the Giants.
Giants, yeah.
Now, when he was with the Giants, he was truly a short yardage type back, mm-hmm. right, that still had juice enough to get – he's going to get 100 yards a game.
Yeah.
But I'll never forget a moment, the last time we played against each other, I'm on the sideline, and here he comes, man. And I come up. And, you know, he's so much bigger than everybody.
You're huge.
So I learned, Joe, to never lean forward to hit a bigger guy. I learned to just stand up and just grab him when he comes, right?
And then just go.
And wait for the posse to show up, right? And so here he comes, round the corner, and he see me. And then he start getting this, he started getting the song, right? And so I just grabbed it, right? He probably knocked me back about 2-3 yards. Right. The posse came. So I say, here we are, old man, and you still trying to do your homeboy dirty.
Still the same one, right? Dirty.
But man, listen, let me ask you this, because you know our childhood in Delray was special.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were touched by a lot of different men, right?
Absolutely.
And so when I talk about Delray, you know, I always talk about Bump Mitchell first in my life, you know, outside of my family.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about Bump Mitchell, you know, I talk about Red Odom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because Red was the one, Joe, that year I was in the eighth grade sitting on the bench. He was the one that taught me how to tackle that year, right? Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to do it. He asked me every night, Bobby, I need you to help me on defense. I said, Coach, I'm an offensive player, man. I don't do that, right? And then it finally hit me. Do you want to play?
Do you want to play?
Are you tired of riding this bench?
Mm-hmm.
And so Red taught me how to tackle, man. And the whole year, I never got a chance to start. I only played in cleanup duty, which was just killing my pride, right? But it was the best thing ever happened for me. Because I learned how to tackle. The next year I come back, my ninth grade year, I play my last year at the Rocks. I'm the starting quarterback, and we win the championship. Tim Butts became that next monster, right?
Oh, boy, that's a name. Thank you for that. Boy, my goodness.
He became the next monster. And me and Tony Kanega used to hook up. I used to throw the ball down the field and hit Tony Kanega down the field. you know, it's amazing. I don't think Lawrence Strange played that year.
No, that
I
was
don't think he played that year. My last year with the Rocks, because I don't remember throwing him that one pass, and he was one of the best pass receivers.
With his own long, lanky seven.
He was fast, man. He was fast. And so, but I want you to talk about Red Odom again, what he means to you, and some of the coaches, maybe like Zach or whoever, really had an influence on your life. Talk about that for a minute.
Absolutely. And it really goes all the way back. Probably the first one in that group would have been Mr. Zach.
Okay.
Because I started playing Little League with mm-hmm. him.
Okay.
And ultimately, that's where the relationship with Red started, because if you played baseball out there, they were for you. You know, you're right. On different teams. But in the end, mm-hmm. everything was geared towards, we're going to pick our all-star team and we're going out the area and we're going to kick butt.
Right.
So Mr. Zach became one of those first guys, mm-hmm. you know, and you just knew how to act when you were around Mr. Zach.
Oh, absolutely.
Miss Lois.
Right.
You know, and the way we were, you naturally had a respect for adults. If people
adults,
were
right.
older
That's
than you,
right. mm-hmm.
they got respect from you. Mm-hmm. And our parents demanded that of us.
Absolutely.
And they could also discipline us out there if we were acting crazy.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So Mr. Zach was certainly an influence, and that's mm-hmm. how I got with all the Sixth Avenue boys.
Okay, all right, yeah.
And that's yes, how I got yes, tight with them.
Right.
But as I continued to go on, again, there were guys like Horace Bowie, Ricky Grant,
mm-hmm.
one guy who was just a delight, Greg Dobson. You know, we talk about athletes. You know, Greg could throw the ball. Greg could throw 90-something miles an hour back in the day.
Right.
And, you know, just super athlete.
Yes.
So all those guys contributed.
Mm-hmm.
Walt Stevens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. There you go. There's another one. Yeah.
And I'm going to give you another name.
Mm-hmm.
James Holman.
Oh, yes, sir.
All those guys. And,
yes,
you know,
sir.
Like, man, we didn't really understand, mm-hmm. but those were the guys. Mr. Kirkwood.
That's right.
John Ramsey.
That's right.
I was just thinking, it was just
so
all
many.
Those guys, man, and
right.
they poured themselves into
they did.
Us.
They did.
And so, as again, so my relationship with Red,
mm-hmm.
so Red and is at the same age of my sister, I think Gary.
Gary, okay.
In the same age group.
Okay.
Gary, maybe, my sister Joan, maybe 76, 77. So
mm-hmm.
they're in that
mm-hmm.
range. So
mm-hmm.
They were high school classmates. So
wow.
I initially met, that's how I initially met mm-hmm. Red.
Right.
All those people were. You know, they were classmates and friends
right.
and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And but again, and but ultimately that vision he put in us when we
mm-hmm.
got that 12-year-old team when we played our first Little League,
mm-hmm.
and that opened the door for a whole
right.
bunch of folks. Because
yes.
eventually there were folks like Gus and Gus probably one of the best ball players come out of Tim Blue.
Right, right.
All these guys played.
Right.
And so, we were into it. So Red was a real motivator. And, you really needed to want to be around Red.
Right, that's right.
Because while he was to go out there and pour himself into you, he wasn't about BS.
He wasn't playing. Right, he wasn't playing. I'm telling you.
When you were there, you were focused, and it taught you discipline. Mm-hmm. Taught you discipline as a young man, and in the end, they were using these sports. Hey, if you can make it big somewhere, great. But what the primary focus was to develop us into great young men and women, or whatever. And that was the difference. So because I became so excited and passionate about baseball, and talking to Red was like reading an encyclopedia on baseball. Right. And so I was able to learn and digest all of that, and it just kept me going, and that just kept my passion going. I was always eternally grateful because my father died at 8.
Right.
I had 3 older brothers, and they were still young, even in their 20s, trying to make their way. So it was those gentlemen that I just mentioned, that myriad of coaches, over from Atlantic, Mr. Tidwell. Was a mentor when we played, Pony League. Guys like Joe Sires and Dwight Tidwell. So Mr. Tidwell told Red Odom, say, man, if we could get Cheney and Jap over here, we'll have a stick. And Red and Yvonne told him, look, if we could get Tidwell and Morrison, it was Jap at that time, if we could get we'll have a stick.
That's awesome, man.
But that's how it was. So it was that passion created. And then I go back and tell you, I didn't like football practice.
Right.
I love baseball. So that kind of was the ultimate sign that you didn't have to push me to get a ball, throw a ball, swing a bat. I'd even used to go out in the yard and throw the ball up as high as I could. And then I started catching it behind my back.
Okay.
All kind of things.
Right. Playing little games.
Doing it. And then, like I said, at some point, man, that stuff becomes second nature.
Absolutely.
You don't think about it.
Absolutely.
The repetition. And those gentlemen were very, very instrumental. Not only did they teach me about sports, and the competition aspect, but the way they developed me as a, as a young man. I learned a little bit how to be a husband.
Right. Absolutely.
There were some examples. Negative examples of how not to be a husband.
How not to be a husband. That's right.
we learned a lot. Right. So that's how that all worked out. And even guys like the Flowers, like Lester was Gopher was much older than me.
Right.
But Lester had an affection for me because we were neighbors and stuff. So they looked out.
They looked out for you, man. Yeah,
and they pushed you. And they pushed
and
they encouraged you. And they were good examples because they were doing their own thing.
Right. Exactly. Right? Exactly.
They were doing their own
thing. Exactly. Right.
And so they were good. We had Friday night in Delray at the Carver game. You know, where else would you be,
man? Well, I tell you, man. And see, I always lived so close. When I couldn't go to the Carver High game, I can hear the band all the time, man. And I'd be sitting up, man, and I'm not at the game, but I'm sitting in this house. But when we lived in Carver Park, my room was in the back, on the back corner, right? And the house was right behind the Sutton's house. That faced Carver Field, right? And so in my room, Joe, if the ball got on a certain hash mark, my dad had binoculars. So I would look, and I can see a little bit. If they go to the left, I can't see them. I sit there and wait for them to come back. Right. So sometimes that's how I saw the game. But the times that I got a chance to go, and like I say, I'll never forget Carver playing Roosevelt one night, and I saw Penn scramble and make this great play. And, man, that I lost my mind. And so I've never seen anything like Anthony Penn. But I remember when after I got a chance to know him well, and I asked him this question. I said, all right, Anthony, who was the guy you looked up to? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he said, Sonny Chaney.
Yeah.
I go, what? He says, because I thought he was going to say somebody like Dusty. You know, even Herman Bain. Now, Herman Bain, your right. brother-in-law,
right.
wasn't no joke now.
So within my own family, I had a couple of guys I could look up to.
Guys
and
look up
and
to.
I think you learned during Herman's interview that he played a little pro football.
He did.
And I knew that all my life, right?
Right.
I'm just saying. So it was like kind of, if these guys can do it, you have in the back of your mind, it's not impossible.
It's not
impossible. This is my brother, and this is my brother-in-law. And I can tell you, you might as well just take brother-in-law off of Herman. Herman is as much a brother to me.
Right.
And when you talk about the influences,
yes.
Was one of those great influences in my life.
Yes,
Herman was the guy who I got college advice from. So he told me, what Herman told me, he says, well, if you can, go to Georgia Tech,
right.
get a degree in industrial engineering, get your master's in business, and he says, you can do what you want to do well. get into Georgia Tech.
Absolutely.
Guess what? Uh-huh. My oldest boy, Joseph II, did that at Georgia Tech.
Did he really?
Went to Georgia Tech, did his master's at Georgia State.
What?
And so again,
awesome,
that seed that was planted.
Planted, right. Amen.
Ultimately, amen. Skipped me.
Right.
And manifested in my son.
Damn.
And that's okay.
That's great.
That's okay. And then when you think about the big picture of Red's daughter-in-law, and you know, she's in. And you know, on her side, Coco's side of the family,
right.
I am so thrilled
and
happy that their granddaughter has seen success with all the time and life that they poured into kids in our community.
Kids.
That in the end, their granddaughter finds. It just warms my heart, man.
Well, me too, Joe. And just like you said. All the seeds they planted over the years.
Man. Oh man, all over the place.
All over the place, man. They've helped so many. They have so many
all over the country right now. I guarantee you.
Absolutely.
So you know, like, and all of that. Guess where all that came from? Carver High School.
There it
is. Who was one of their greatest influencers?
Mr. Pompey.
So in the end, we didn't play for Coach Pompey, but we got everything Coach
that
Pompey
they got.
Poured into those guys. Isn't that something?
And you know, it's amazing too. Now, see, I had the chance of going to, now when you left Spady, right? Did you go to Spady or Delray Elementary?
Spady for first and second grade.
Okay.
And I had Barbara Brown, Kelly Brown's ex. And that woman used to hit me on the hands with them things, them rulers, you remember that? And I love Miss Brown. But from third grade to sixth grade, we went to Delray Elementary, and I will tell you, Bobby, that was right. And then after Delray, that was the when integration hit.
Integration started.
Carver became I think it was a junior high, and then eventually middle school.
Well, junior high first,
because we was anticipating going to Carver. We was anticipating the Carver experience.
Absolutely.
Carver had just won a couple of championships.
Couple of state titles back to back, bro.
We wanted to get in that floor.
We
and now
to get in that house.
Excuse for not being able to go to the games.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I tell you, that really broke my heart. And then the next year, when we got bused to Boca,
and
literally three quarters of our community.
Right.
Bus to Boca, and
to Boca, that's true.
You know, and I think particularly my class, me, Toot, Cho Cho, Butterbean, there's a few more guys. I think we played baseball. That was one thing that in Boca wasn't prevalent.
Right,
black guys didn't play
baseball. Right, exactly.
And so that allowed us to network, engage folks that typically wouldn't have been engaged.
Right.
And I believe that it was our class that created that kind of, you know, so, you know, you have the busing and, you know, you have this, I call it, for lack of a better word, you know, the racial tensions are high.
Right, right.
Then we get to 76, mm-hmm. and they start to calm down.
Calm down, right.
Primarily, one of the reasons was because of our class and the people in our group, because of the way we had grown up and been trained. Because there were sure some guys ain't had no problem. They just assume hit you and knock you out.
Oh, absolutely.
And I knew who they was, and I ain't messed with them either.
Right, right. Absolutely. That's right.
So, but that was a big blow. And like you, I often wonder and I fantasize, I'll call it, about how it would have been for all of us to be in school together, playing sports together. You know, not only would we would have had great sports teams, but also there was a fellowship, there was time that we had previously spent and would have spent over the years that somehow now, particularly in this high school age frame, we were in different realms, you know. Right. So Friday night we headed the different directions. Mm-hmm. We're all going to play somebody here. We're going to play somebody there. Mm-hmm. Very rarely do we get a chance to see each other play.
Right, right.
But I did get to see y'all play a lot because I told you my junior.
Mm-hmm. Baseball. Right.
So
right.
yeah, that old double wing that Atlantic used
to.
And you know,
Luther Mosley, boy.
Yeah. So, but my point is, and I say we wanted to play each other, but I'm gonna tell you, it would have been a battle, you know.
Man,
that would have been something.
It would have been a battle because you know, and here's the thing too, man, because we knew each other, right?
Exactly.
And I'm gonna tell you something. The respect that I have for all of y'all, because the way I looked at it, all those Delray Rock, all of us who play for the Rocks. Right. Y'all got the best of all that now.
Exactly.
Y'all got all the better players went to Boca.
Because like I said, 75% of our community, or what was considered our black community, was in Boca. So that was the bulk of us.
That was the bulk.
You know, the Toots, the Vicks. And everybody on the north side, but it was everybody.
Everybody, man.
On the north side and then like to 8th on the south side. So they took nearly everything but maybe Carver Park.
So
to speak. And like I said, I still have some heartburn about that. I would have liked to have seen Coffee and Carver go for a third year, you know.
Well, absolutely.
And when would that thing have stopped?
Listen. Well, let me ask this question. All right. Let's take it from here. Has the Delray Rock stopped yet?
There it is. The gift that keeps on giving.
That's what I'm trying to say.
And going.
That's right. That's right.
And that's what's so important about a vision, a dream to do something, right? Because the reality is some of it you may never see manifest.
That's right.
The point is, a seed well watered and cared for will manifest into some fruit down the road, regardless who is actually doing it, right?
That's right.
Red them poured themselves into me. I made it a little play, and I think Gus Burgess got further than anybody.
Right.
You know, Greg had his shot. Greg Dawson had his shot. Bozo played a little bit in the Atlanta system. But yeah, it just keeps on going, and you set that bar. And like I said, you had something to shoot for. And I got to say something about a guy. I can't forget him. Johnny Haynes, who, you know what he's going through. But Johnny was, you know, when you talk about legends in Delray, Johnny has always been a full-grown man.
Since day one.
I can't never remember Johnny.
When he was not a full-grown man.
Always. And so kudos to you and particularly Al Flint, man, for the care that y'all provided.
Oh, well, you know, we've been brothers since we've been this high.
Right. And that's great. And that's the essence of really true love. Right.
Amen.
And as brothers and friends, you know, all we need to know, man, is you have a need. You know what? And we jump to help it.
That's it, man. Well, Joe, man, you know, man. You and I got to catch up.
Well, we got to catch up.
You know, we got our contact information. I mean, personally.
Yeah.
And, you know, we got to get up. And if you ever come to Atlanta, you got to come through.
Well, I have a 2.5-year-old grandson there now, so I'll be getting there more.
All right. All right. Hey, awesome.
He's Joe the Third.
What?
But cool. Yeah, I'll be making some trips, and you know, and let's do that. Cause I believe I don't know if I can. I think the last time I saw you, I had just moved to Atlanta back in like '92, and I even went to church with you and the wife a couple of times.
That's right.
All the way up in Norcross.
Norcross. That's right.
In the south end of town. Initially Riverdale, and then I ended up in Stockbridge. That's probably the last time I can remember.
It's the last time, Joe. It's the last time.
Probably at least 30 years.
It's been a while.
It's been a while. And so, you know, through my relationship with Butterbean and just, you know, my following of you, I've kept up with you over the years.
Oh, cool.
And like I say, you know, grateful for your friendship and, you know, just thankful for you being the man that you've grown to be, and keep up the good work.
Before we end our show today, we'd like to mention one more time, this show is presented by Bet Online.
Well, I appreciate you, Doc, man. And we got so much to talk about. We got to go back and talk about them old AME days back in the day.
Oh, that's a whole nother hour.
That's a whole nother hour, right?
Yeah, that's a whole hour.
Well, listen, we're going to do that. But, man, thank you for coming on the show tonight. And, ladies and gentlemen, that's it tonight, man. We've had, man, what a great conversation, man, with a great man, Joe Chaney, Delray Beach legend. You know, Joe, you did it all, man. And we didn't even get into talking about them Boca High Atlantic High basketball games.
Right, yeah. You know? Yeah, well, I think maybe at the end of the day, the basketball was kind of at the end of the list. We played because we like playing.
We played because we like playing.
The passion was elsewhere.
That was it. Because, you know, in Palm Beach County, when you start talking about Lake Worth, you start talking about North Shore and Suncoast, we couldn't compete with those guys.
Yeah, not when it came to basketball. And by you know what I would do? I didn't miss a game between when WAP, what's that boy's name?
Hopper. Derek Hopper.
When they played North Shore, I wanted to be there.
You wanted to be there. Absolutely.
And that was the place to be. And that they was the put place on to be. Some shows. And I really believe if Anthony Carter had decided he wanted to play basketball, he could have played pro basketball.
Well, listen, let me tell you about AC, about basketball. You think about, see, he's 2 years younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a senior. He's a sophomore. So my junior year, Anthony Carter's a ninth grader. He think he averaged about 23, 24 points on the varsity. And as a ninth grader, they played Tallahassee Rickers in the state championship game.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he could have done anything he wanted to do. He was that kind of an athlete.
Some bad boys down there in that South Florida. And like I said, I tell folks, man. I put the people of Delray Beach
right in there, bro.
I put the people of Delray Beach up against anybody anywhere in the country when it comes to people, whether it's sports, education. Mm-hmm. Whatever, Delray Beach was quite a little place for such a small town. Yes.
And you know, I'm proud of where I come from. And
absolutely.
So, and I want people to know, you know, you can put Delray Beach and Google Delray Beach now. It's one of the best places to go to vacation.
In the world. Isn't that something?
That's amazing, right?
A little old sleeping.
A little old place, man. It's one of the best places to go and have a holiday now.
Yes, sir.
Listen, man, thank you again, brother. I love you, man. God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, that's our show tonight. If you like the show, comment and share it with your friends. This is 100 Yards of Football, and this is our legend segment. And tonight we had the great Joe Chaney from Delray Beach. Love you, brother.
Thank you, my brother. Love you, too. Peace.
What is your favorite moment from football history? What teams and players are you cheering on? And who will win it all? We want to hear from you, our listeners. Head over to 100 Yards of Football Sports Talk Radio's Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch and leave us a comment. We might use your suggestion in an upcoming episode. Tune in daily to the podcast and watch our show live every week. We are 100 Yards of Football Sports Talk Radio on the Believe Podcast Network.